Thursday, April 23rd, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Matthew chapter 24, looking at verses 1 through 14 with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, Living in Distressing Times.
But he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any of his elect should perish. That's how good he is. And so be encouraged. No matter what you see in this world, today the supper is held out to you. He will keep you. Don't live in fear. The world lives in fear. Don't live in fear. I am with you, says the Lord. Do not be troubled. I've told you beforehand, you're my sheep. I will keep you. Believe my word.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
2nd question first. What is the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And in verses 4 through 14, we have a list of what I think you can say are signs, plural, of his coming that span the whole present age. But you'll notice in verse 30 that the sign, singular, is mentioned. It is the sign of him appearing on the clouds of heaven when the elect are gathered from the four winds. And by the way, that did not happen in AD 70. Anyone who's a full preterist, we have exams in our churches, and if you're a full preterist, we call that heresy. You won't make it into the church. The elect were not gathered in AD 70 from the four corners of the earth. So you notice here that the sign is his coming, but he begins to speak and prepare them for that ultimate sign with what you might call our series of signs that mark the present age in which we live. And that's important for us to study. So what we have here are signs of the present age that lead to the sign of his return. And so Jesus begins. Now this is very pastoral. I want to say that up front. It's sad that in dispensationalism and in so many eschatologies of our time, this has been used to scare people to death. That's not Jesus' intention. We'll see that here in a moment. But verse 4, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. The first thing he begins with is deception. The reality, he says, is before I come, this age will be marked by moments and times of great deception. You have to appreciate that in the midst of the hard things that happen in life, that in all the troubles of this world and in all the problems of this world, since fear grips people and worry grips people, people want deliverance from all of this. And people seek for answers in the midst of all of this, and they want to overcome the world and all of its problems that the world faces. And Jesus says it's in that kind of soil that all kinds of deception comes for the people of the Lord, that in the midst of this, false saviors rise up who gain great followings. Some of these figures will blatantly claim that they're the Christ. But I think what Jesus is emphasizing here and what's so important for us is that the heart of people, it's the heart of the people, will be captured by false messiahs. People promising deliverance from all the evils of this world. I think you can see where we are right now. What is one of the greatest dangers in our time? And it's remarkable after what we've seen in the past with World War II and with the rise of somebody like Hitler. What are some of the greatest things that are happening in the moment? One of the greatest dangers in our time, whether you're on the political right or on the left, is that we're ripe for some kind of totalitarianism. Some figure to rise up who claims great power and acts as the great deliverer from all the evils in the world. And imagine if such a person could unite the peoples. Jesus says, watch out for this. If we are caught up in a figure of this world and the political realm especially, who we think is our hero, Jesus is saying, I want to remind you, they are not the Christ. You are being deceived. Jesus in verse 6 says, there will be all kinds of things that are going to, in the course of this age, wreck the stability of life. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you're not troubled. Jesus says that one of the expectations of our age will be at moments and great moments, increased intensity of people's going into upheaval. Increased revolutions, if you will. Politically, economically, in the nations of the world, intensity of unstable governments and lawless people and tumults among the people, as the Psalms describe it. And people will always be set on edge for what they feel is always about to happen. What is it always, do you always think, that could break out at any moment? War. We're living with that. Everyone is thinking about this kind of thing. We experience that. These rumors or reports will dominate the consciousness of the people. So much hatred, so much tension. Everything hangs in the balance. You know, it wouldn't take much today for World War III to break open, would it? Really. We've had two of them. What would it take? And somebody once asked Putin, and they said, well, what would be the danger of having another world war like that? And he said, afterward, everyone would be fighting with sticks. Scary. What Jesus is saying is there's going to be many things happening that cause massive unrest among the peoples. It's Psalm 2. The nations at times will become incredibly restless. And then Jesus says, not only that, but you can expect the ground to shake at the most unexpected moments under people's feet. It's going to do a lot of damage. And you can expect famines and pestilences and earthquakes. And then he says in verses 9 through 14, times of persecution will come. And at times they're going to hand you over and put you to death, and betrayal will mark life. There will be moments at times of persecution for God's people, intense persecution. And happens all over the world. They'll deliver you up to tribulation. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, how are you feeling so far? Is that helpful? It's all validated, isn't it? Has anything I said not validated? So the question is, is it just hard to hear? Because we can certainly say everything he's just said has been validated throughout history over and over and over again. The interesting thing is in verse 8, he says, these things are the beginnings of birth pains. The basic truth there is that, like birth pains, everything is leading to the final judgment. They're telling you that. When you see the ravaging of nations, when you see forces at work in creation that cannot be stopped, Jesus is saying all these things are a reminder that the end is coming soon. There are real contractions like birth pains. When a woman is in labor and ready to give birth to a child, you know when the child comes, they don't remember any of those birth pains, but those contractions, I've been told, are awful. No pain like it, I'm told. What he's telling the disciples and what he's telling us is, these things will come to pass. But it's these things that cause the most fear. And he knows what Christians do in the midst of all of this. We get We get discouraged, don't we? We easily become overwhelmed because of these things. Our hearts are consumed in all these causes and all the worry that comes with them and all the fear that drives people in this world. If you look at what's happening right now in the nation and the turbulence, it's fear driving people. And disillusionment. And we are thrown off balance when it happens. And Jesus seems to assume here that his people will forget at moments like this everything they've been taught. And it's here that he consoles us. It's here that he speaks in ways that are so profoundly comforting and beautiful. He says, "See, I've told you beforehand. And listen to it. See to it. You are not troubled." Now, when our Lord says, "See, I've told you beforehand," the right effect of that is to say that he knows this because he's directing it. The Christian is never to think that the things that are happening in the world are happening outside of the sovereign appointment and control of God. It's he who holds history in his hand is the whole point that he's making here. And it's he that governs everything. He's seated on the throne. And as the world becomes fixated on all these problems and lives to solve all these problems, he is directing his people to an entirely different outlook. Now listen to this. Don't be troubled. Now who could say that? Could I say that? In myself? There's wars and rumors of wars. There's famines. There's pestilences and earthquakes in various places. And people are suffering greatly. And you're telling me don't be troubled? I can't say that. It was Barnhouse who once said, "Either these are the words of a madman, or they're God's words. Don't be troubled. It is not my will for you to be troubled in the midst of all this." I can't help but think of Psalm 131. "O Lord," 131, "my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child, my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." The Christian sees through it all. And what do we see? And that's where I think you have to pause and ask the question, why does it have to be this way? Why? And the answer is that the scriptures give us is that this is a great reminder to us all, beloved. History has an end. The world has an end. That's what all these things are telling you. You can go on any news report and look, and all of it is telling us that is not peace. And you see the effect. Knowing that Jesus has told us about this is a reminder to not think that life will go on as it always has. Isn't that what Peter said is the great problem? There's so many in this life going on thinking that life will always continue as it's always gone and the end will not come. And as if we can create in this life some utopia. He wants us to see that these things are happening and come to the great conclusion. These things are reminders that the end is coming really soon. And you see, that has a healthy effect. That when we face the awful things, that it wakes us up to what's most important. I think some of us, and I have to constantly be reminded to be awake. To take faith seriously, to take the worship of God seriously, to remember who I am, to remember why I'm here, to remember what this is about, and what the purposes of God are for us in this life and in what is to come. Tragedy has the effect of tearing out self-security and self-reliance in the things that are wrong for us so that we don't think life is just a jolly ride of fun events and camping trips, as important as camping trips are. Remember how you felt when the Twin Towers fell? I'm showing my age. It was devastating. It was scary. In the midst of this, he says, verse 6, see to it you're not troubled. When we see the terrible atrocities in the world, Jesus says, I don't want you alarmed. History's moving. It's moving toward a goal. And you see what Jesus is doing for us. He's calming us. These are his words. I don't want you to think that these things, and I don't want these things to become obstacles to your faith. You see the pastoral nature here of the Good Shepherd. He gives an encouragement to the believer. You see, he doesn't want all of this to draw us away from him, but he wants us to draw it all to him. Notice what he says. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. He's shepherding. I think he's thinking of his people. Love growing cold through all this. When tragedy comes and difficulty, sometimes it drives people away. And Jesus is saying, it should drive you to me. A cold people is a people who forget their salvation and where their history is leading. This is why Jesus redirects us in the midst of this. What should we be doing? What is the great purpose? It's amazing because he doesn't leave us without purpose and meaning in this life and value in this life. There's real value in this life. What do we need to be doing? And he redirects us to the readiness and what we as believers need to be about. What does he want us to know? Well, he wants you to be ready. If he were to come today, who then is this whole rest of this chapter after the next section is all about readiness. Who then is the wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. You probably know that Luther once said that if he knew the Lord was coming tomorrow, he would plant a tree today. And that's verse 14. It's the one sign that speaks to this, the sign that we are to be most active in, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You have to ponder that. That's where I want you focused. You see the encouragement. I've never saw this in this light before. In the midst of all this instability, in the midst of all this, everything that is shaky, nations that come and go, think of Rome gone. Where do you see light in this world? And where is the one thing that is stable and certain and true that continues to happen and that no generation has ever put out? It's as if Jesus just said, there's nothing certain in this age but one thing. And you're involved in it. Here is one thing that endures all the turbulence. Here is one thing that endures all the threats. Here's one thing that endures all the evil. The sign that you're a part of now is the advancement of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Amazing. You are my witnesses. You bear a message of power. Remember Revelation? The cowardly are left outside of the kingdom. We're not the cowardly. We're not living in fear of all this. We bear a great, powerful message of a Savior who sits enthroned, who lived and died and rose again. And Jesus is saying, no matter what happens, do not fear. I am in control. I'm the author of history. I am the Lord of history. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I promised you not one sheep will be plucked from my hand through this all. Have I not? Don't forget, verse 31, that with a great sound of a trumpet, it will sound, and I will gather my elect. The angels will gather the elect from the four winds, from one heaven side of heaven to the other. The gospel will continue to go out, and he will not lose you. And all these things are opportunities for us to demonstrate faith in the midst of his promise to uphold us. Jesus says there will be betrayal. People will be handed over. But who really faced all that? Jesus himself. This is what the disciples are about to see. The betrayal of the Son of God. On the night of his own betrayal, what did he do? He broke bread. And he said, take, eat. This is my body. This is my blood for you. He instituted the supper to strengthen you, to give you a sacrament for the battle, a nourishment for the soul, that whatever we see happen, this is certain. The supper proclaims something is certain. What is certain in this life? He will come again, and he will take us to be with him where he is. I think the great encouragement here is that we would be about believing and advancing his life, death, and resurrection to the ends of the earth, and remember why we're left here to begin with. I pray that you do not take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Why? Because you're his witnesses. You have meaning. You have purpose. The gospel he once ministered and preached and believed so that people can know that they're saved from the final judgment. And beloved, if we're still here and we're still going, you know what that means. The elect have not all come in. The elect, God's sovereign predestinating choice of people. He's not brought them all in yet. That's why you're here. And he's not slow to give you the promise. But he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any of his elect should perish. That's how good he is. And so be encouraged. No matter what you see in this world, today the supper is held out to you. He will keep you. Don't live in fear. The world lives in fear. Don't live in fear. I am with you, says the Lord. Do not be troubled. I've told you beforehand, you're my sheep. I will keep you. Believe my word. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for such wonderful news to us. Bless us now as we come to the table, that we might come in confidence and in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That's all the time we have for you today. Thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio. We hope you'll join us again next time to hear more of God's word. Until then.